I'm Karen Hartgleff, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And we talk about food on this show, and so many people never really make the connection between food and everything else that goes on in our daily lives. Food affects so many different things, not only our personal health. Certainly it has a great impact on our personal health, whether we're filling our bodies with essential nutrients and foods that are going to boost our immune system versus foods that are going to make us weak and sick, etc. But also, food affects the environment we live in, the air, the water, the soil, and certainly the other animal species that we share this planet with. And one of the things that I discovered when I became so focused on food is that it made me more mindful about so many other things that go on in this world. It's all about paying attention, because there are so many things that we take for granted. And we have two great guests on this show today about very different topics, but I think it comes down to the same theme about being mindful about everything around us. Juliette West, she's 15. She's a student and an animal rights youth advocate focused on creating awareness around elephant abuse. She began advocating for animals at the age of 9, and at 13, she helped with the campaign to free Billy the elephant from the L.A. Zoo. She's an inspirational speaker for youth organizations, schools, and animal rights groups. Juliette starred in a documentary, How I Became an Elephant, in the 2009 screening at the Artivist Film Festival and the 34th International Wildlife Film Festival. She founded Juliette Speaks at a nonprofit and has since touched over 15,000 with her words and deeds advocating for elephants. And much more on Juliette West at JulietteSpeaks.com and HowIBecameAnElephant.com. Hello, Juliette.
And thanks for having me.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry we had some technical difficulties there, but now it looks like everything's going good.
All right.
And we can have a nice conversation.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you are just one remarkable person.
Thank you.
And very articulate. I've been listening to some of the interviews that you've done, and just amazing. So I guess my first question is, how did your involvement with elephants begin?
Well, it began, like you said, with Billy the Elephant at the LA Zoo. I had been, from the age of 9, I had been raising money for a local pet adoption center, from birthday parties, things like that. And then they told me about this elephant at the LA Zoo who was in such bad condition, and this whole case to try to get him out. And I became involved, and I was trying to write letters and talk to people, tell all my friends about that, have them write letters. And then I just got interested and started trying to learn as much as I could.
Well, I'm just amazed because you sent me your resume. You're 15. You have a four-page resume. You're featured in this documentary, and it's going to be coming out later on this year into theaters around the country?
We're hoping. We're showing it at small film festivals here and there, and, you know, we're just finishing it and moving along.
Right. Very exciting. Well, I'm sure at some point we'll be able to get it on DVD if it doesn't come to a theater near us.
Yes.
Yeah. And you don't have to give the whole story away, but what is How I Became an Elephant about?
How I Became an Elephant, kind of the point of it is just to invoke discussion and show solutions for, you know, the problems with elephants. So it shows me as a young girl coming out from the United States to meet Lex Schallert, who is this amazing woman who has devoted her whole life to making a better life for elephants in her country, Thailand. She has a huge sanctuary, and she takes in elephants from all over Thailand, the most abused ones, and from the trekking camps, you know, the tourist industries, those places, and brings them to her sanctuary where she tries to revive them and give them the life that they deserved all along. So it's me coming out, learning from her. We end up buying an elephant, an abused elephant from a trainer, bringing her back to the sanctuary. It's kind of that messy story as well. And just kind of opening people's eyes to what's really going on behind the scenes at those trekking camps and the tourist industries, and that those elephants aren't treated with love and care.
I always like to talk about being mindful and paying attention to everything around us, because so many things are not as they seem.
Right.
And I know a number of people who have traveled to Thailand and some other countries where elephants are really exploited. The treatment is just horrendous, and the tourists don't even know what's going on behind the scenes.
Right. I think the way I see it is, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, continue.
Okay. The way I see it is that we can't just point fingers at the Thai people who are doing this and saying what you're doing is wrong, because it's their tradition. So my angle is that I'm going to educate the Westerners coming out from the United States and these places, the tourists that these Thai people are making money off of, and educate them about what they're really supporting, what's really going on, because I think it's everyone's responsibility, if they're going to support something like this, if they're going to spend money on something like this, to know what they're really supporting. And then once they know the truth, once they know all the abuse that goes on, you know, to make their own decision.
Well, I wanted to say a couple of things. One is it's just really phenomenal that you, at your age, have done so much and care so much and are just doing it. And so many people feel overwhelmed with all the things that aren't right in this world, and they don't feel like they have the power or the tools to make a difference. And you're showing us that everyone can make a difference. You just pick one thing. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to change the whole world. Just pick a piece of it and start on your journey, and everyone can make a difference. And that's what's so so brilliant about you and what you're doing. And I hope that as you get older, you don't forget this empowerment that you have now.
Right.
Because, you know, as we get older, we get a little jaded.
Yeah. Yes, and that's what I'm always trying to get across when I give talks to schools, to middle school students or high school students, that, you know, don't let people tell you that you're a kid and you can't make a difference. I would, you know, 13 when I got started, and every little bit counts. Not buying that ticket to the circuit, or telling your friends or telling your parents, you know, when you go to Asia, don't ride the elephant. Telling them what's really going on behind the scenes can really make a difference.
Now, where are your parents in all of this? Did you get some of these ideas from them, or were they always supportive? Did they have some issues with what you wanted to do with all of this?
They have been so supportive throughout all of this. I was kind of the first one to educate them about this when I got involved. They were, you know, supportive when I wanted to raise money at my birthday parties. They were like, okay, we'll help you organize it, things like that. But my parents, a couple of years ago, they rode an elephant themselves. And so when I started learning these things, you know, I was like, do you know what you guys did? Come on. But,
yeah.
They have been so supportive throughout all of this. My dad went with me to Thailand to do the documentary, and they're so supportive in everything that I do.
Well, elephants certainly are very beautiful beings, and we often see a lot of spirituality in them. I don't know if it's some sort of anthropomorphic thing where we're reflecting back, but there's something really majestic about them, and it's really hard to believe that there are some that will do the horrible things that they do to elephants. I know when I was a child, I had a fascination with elephants, and I used to collect a lot of elephant figurines. I don't do that anymore. But but you know, it's not just elephants, unfortunately. We, as a society, exploit all animal species, and not just other species, but we also exploit humans. And so does this mission that you have extend beyond elephants?
Right now it's just for elephants, but what I hope, I always say from the documentary and from, you know, these talks that I give, I say I want people to not only, you know, understand what's going on behind the scenes at these elephant trekking camps and the elephant shows, but also kind of change the way that they see, you know, all animals that are domesticated, or especially in the entertainment business. I always tell kids that if you see something involving an animal that you don't really think is right, you see, you know, a tiger in a cage at the zoo that maybe seems too small, and or just something that doesn't seem right, I want you to not only to question it. Don't just keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think something isn't wrong, ask someone. And if you find out that it is wrong, do something about it.
Now, what about your friends and the kids that you talk to? How do they react to what you're telling them?
Sometimes it's kind of overwhelming, I think, to see, oh, my gosh, this girl went to Thailand. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's crazy. But I think a lot of times, at least I hope, it really opens up because kids love elephants. Like you said, when you were young, you
yes.
loved elephants. It's, I don't know, something about elephants really hits kids at home. And at my old school, when I gave a talk, there was this little environmentalist club for the second graders, the third graders. And by the end of the year, they said, we want to give all of our profits from all of our fundraisers to you and the elephants.
No.
So
mm-hmm.
I guess
very
that was
nice.
The first thing that made me think that, wow, you know, it really hits them hard.
And what about Ringling Brothers? Have they responded to any of the information that you've been putting out?
I haven't really been in contact with Ringling Brothers directly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of intimidated because
yeah.
they're such a big business. But I am going to a protest tonight in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Again, for the Ringling Brothers Circus. And I don't know, I hope that someday they'll hear about me and change their mind.
Yeah, I haven't protested in a long time, but I did some time ago, maybe 10 years ago in New York, and it was a frustrating situation because, you know, there are lots of parents and kids, and they're going to have a good time, and they don't want people to spoil their good time, and it's really hard, even in a protest, to connect the dots for them to really know what's going on behind the scenes. So I wish you well with that.
Right. Well, this is my first time, but, yeah, I'm trying to talk. I don't know. My goal is to try to talk to the parents as they're walking in and just, you know, say, you know, one day this is going to be outlawed, and this is kind of my angle, that one day it's probably going to be outlawed, at least from the way things are going right now. Protests are getting bigger and bigger. And have these parents think about one day when this is outlawed, do they want their kids to look back and say, my mom was ignorant just like everybody else and we went to the circus? Or do they want them to say, my mom walked away when no one else did?
Yeah, and there are so many other different circus opportunities that don't exploit animals, and you can have a good time and be entertained.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So true.
Yeah. I mean, Cirque du Soleil is a great example. They're just amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, now, we exploit animals all over the place, unfortunately, and certainly with factory farming. I assume you're aware of how we raise animals for food, especially in this country.
Right, right.
Yeah. Has your work with elephants influenced at all your food choices?
A little bit. I am vegetarian. I don't eat meat, and I mean, it's kind of hard growing and everything. My mom wants me to eat meat, but kind of going back and forth. But
happen before or after you got involved with the elephants, being vegetarian?
That's before I was doing the film, so I'd already been involved a little bit, and it was when Tim Gorski asked, the director of How I Became an Elephant, asked me to do the film with him. He was sending me some of his previous work, and one of them, I don't remember the name right now, but it was about the farm animals, and
mm-hmm.
it really hit me hard. It really opened my eyes, made me so upset.
Yeah, and a lot of people aren't aware. There's just so much we're not aware of, so it's so great that you're doing what you're doing, and we all have to be really vigilant and be true. Because
right.
this world doesn't have to be this way, and we're depending on people like you to make it better.
Oh. And, well, what you're doing is amazing, too, this whole idea of being real.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking responsibility, thinking about what you're eating.
Well, I really want the message to get to a lot of young people, because I think if we give the message that young people can make a difference and empower them, then they will. And I know that the baby boomer generation is blamed for a lot of things, for destroying the environment and economy issues. But, you know, the older generations also created a lot of great technology, technology we're using right now, the internet, and it's definitely connected the global community, and that's going to enable people like you to do the next great work.
Right. I the internet, for example, I did so much to educate people through my blog, Julia Speaks, and, you know, through Facebook and things like that. I've reached so many people through the internet, and, you know, it's kind of what made this all possible.
Right. So what are your plans next?
Well, right now, I was just, the whole goal from me getting from the film was not only this great experience, but was to get footage from the film so I can bring it as a presentation to schools so I can educate the youth. That was kind of my whole goal. So that's what I've been doing. I've done about 3 school presentations so far, and that's what I want to keep doing, educating the youth about this issue.
That's really exciting. Now, do you know what you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I guess when I grow up, I kind of want to keep doing what I'm already doing, advocating for animals, and maybe one day start advocating more for the environment, kind of getting people just to be aware about their surroundings and how what they do affects our Earth.
That's great. Well, we definitely need that kind of help. Did you enjoy being in a film, and do you think there might be a film career for you?
I don't really know about that. It was a great experience being in the film and, you know, getting to go around Thailand. It was more like an adventure for me. And a lot of people have asked that, like, oh, do you want to be an actress now or something like that? I think it was a better experience for me just because of the cause that we were doing it for. But, you know, I'm excited. I'll do another documentary if it's for a cause I care about, yes.
Right. Now, other than Thailand, where else are elephants really being taken advantage of?
Africa, India, all other parts of Asia that, you know, whenever people see these tourist industries where they're riding elephants or doing anything that involves domestication, and, you know, even in the United States with these zoos and circuses and elephant shows, you know, anywhere... I just don't want people to be confused when, you know, the trainers and the people in charge of these places try to say, oh, well, we're saving the elephants. If the elephant is doing some unnatural trick, doing anything, you know, when they're in close contact with humans and things like that, I just want them to understand that an elephant is a wild animal, and they would not do this in the wild. They're not meant to be doing this.
Yeah.
Abuse is what is going on behind the scenes to make it possible for them to do this.
Now, in addition to the touring, elephants have also been killed for their tusks.
Uh-huh.
And is that still going on? I know it's illegal in some places.
I don't study as much with that. People can... that's more of African elephants, but
right.
I do know a little bit. You know, things are still... CITES is trying to, you know, outlaw things like that, but it still comes back, and it's still, it's, I think it's going to take a while for this really to get figured out, and, you know, it's still kind of an issue.
I was looking at some of your websites, and I think it was you that was hugging an elephant.
I think so. Maybe.
Yeah, what was that like?
Hugging an elephant?
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. It's kind of hard to explain when, and even when an elephant comes near me, you kind of forget how large and almost majestic this animal really is. And even, and then getting to touch an elephant, you feel their energy, and it's hard to explain, and everyone has to do it for themselves,
right,
have their own experience, but I just really thought it was amazing and empowering.
And this particular elephant was someone you trusted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, elephants are wild animals. You never really know.
Sure.
But, you know, if there are people like Lek around you who have that kind of a connection with elephants, I feel like I'm in a place of trust.
Yeah. Well, I know that because of the way we've treated them, you don't know what's going on in their minds at any time.
Right, exactly. Like the elephants that are at the Elephant Nature Park, Lek Sanctuary, those are all elephants rescued from trekking camps around the country, and a lot of them really aren't in their right mind. Rajshree, the elephant that we saved, she was completely mentally unstable just because they have they're so intelligent and they have so many emotions just as humans that it really affects them when you take them away from their families at too young of an age and you abuse them their whole life.
That's absolutely right. And so I just hope that we all get an opportunity to see How I Became an Elephant. I hope it's a huge success. I hope that millions and millions of people watch it, and all of a sudden the light goes on for them about how to treat elephants and all life on Earth, and
that
the world's a better place because of it. Okay, well, thank you so much, Juliet West, and I invite the listeners to go to your blog, julietspeaks.com, and the movie, howibecameanelephant.com.
Yes.
Great. Well, thank
you. All right.
Thank you
so much.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for joining me, and please go to my website for my new nonprofit, responsibleeatingandliving.com. Thanks so much for joining us.